Sometimes kids, you can see it from the parents and how they were raised. That's why a lot of kids, you know, in the street now do things, you know, get involved in gangs and get involved in the street culture and the street things that's going on because the dads wasn't there to make sure that they were in line.
First and foremost, welcome to Rap Dads, man.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, man. Super, super excited about this interview. Not only because, you know, you are one of the GOAT DJs in the game and have done so much for not only DJing, but music, party, like just all of the elements of hip hop. But more important than all that, man, you are a father.
Yeah, man.
You are a girl dad, more specifically.
Two of them.
Yeah. Right. So tell me about your daughters, their age and, you know, their names and stuff like that.
Well, Vina Love, the singer.
Yes.
She's 27. She's the youngest. And my oldest daughter, Kiera, she's 31. And she's the artist. She's the painter.
And, ooh, you know, and she, visual.
Yeah, she's really good with that stuff. As a matter of fact, she's the one that did the video for Vina Love's Air song, where she did the pastel colors and the neon colors and all that. Yeah, it was real good. So they really good at what they do.
That's amazing. They collaborate. That's dope.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's awesome. So where were you in your life when you became a father? What was going on in your life at that time?
Flying suit. My career was really taking off. And, well, it already took off 6 years prior. But at this time, I pretty much landed.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a lot of traveling like I do now. It never stopped.
But pause on that moment. Please elaborate on that, because I just found out how grueling a DJ's life is in terms of, like, how many days are you on airplanes out of the year?
Well, let's put it in proper perspective and proper narrative. When I started, many DJs wasn't traveling.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I was the one doing all the traveling because I was on television in Def Comedy Jam.
Yes.
You know, my mixtape thing blew up. So this was the beginning of the DJ starting to become business now.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And looked at as an artist because that's what I stood on. So this happened many years before it got popular.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? People took my blueprint and made careers for themselves as party DJs and stuff like that. So that's when it started growing.
Right.
You know, and you know, now people are real busy, but I've always been busy on the road. I've been traveling since 90, you know, then got on Def Comedy Jam and it was all over the world. So,
yeah.
And it never stopped. So, but yeah, now a lot of people are moving, the DJs are moving. I'm real proud of that because that's what I fought for the DJs to be looked at as artists and be respected in that way.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
For sure. So you were at the height of your career when you became a father. Talk about the impact that fatherhood had on you as a human, like as a person. What did you start to see about yourself? Like, what did you start to learn, you know, as a result of that?
Well, one thing, when you have girls, right, when you're raising girls, you want to make sure that you give them the right example. You know, Vina, you know, she was around people, the music industry, you know, people around the music industry, but the people I carry myself around, you know, they never displayed the things that a lot of stuff that happens in the music industry, you know.
Right.
They never displayed that because that's not who they are. You know what I'm saying? So she didn't have that around her, that bad influence part of it.
Yes.
The good influence part of it is what she always has. So that's what she was raised around. So when she was ready to be in the music business herself, she was already seasoned. I didn't have to worry about how she was going to be in it, even though that's what a parent was going to do, because we know how the business is. It could be beautiful, but it also could be scoundrel. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. So,
but she showed me a lot. You know what I mean? And with that being said, you know, the talent had to be there. So I wasn't just going to force on people if I didn't feel like she was ready. And at the time she started showing me, I didn't feel like she was ready. When she was ready, that's when I co-signed her.
What were those conversations like when she was expressing this talent and this passion and you were like, it's not ready yet? Because a lot of, you know, fathers, you have two almost sets. You have like the trophy dads. you have almost two sets of fathers. It could be the trophy parent that pushes them, you know, and almost makes them not want to pursue that lane. Or you have the yes man who's just telling them how great they are, but they never actually are challenged enough to break through that ceiling. So what were those conversations you were having early on? Like,
if anybody knows me, people that know me know I'm very transparent. You know, I don't lie. I don't give you no beating around the bush. I don't tell you stuff to make it sound good or floss it up. I tell you exactly what it is. I hurt your feelings, I tell you the truth, even if it hurts your feelings.
I love that.
All right? And out of all the people that you know is going to mislead you or put a wool over your eye, you know there's one person that's going to tell you the truth, even if it hurts your feelings, and that's Kid. So with that being said, doesn't matter if it's family or not. If you're not right, I'm not co-signing anything that's not right. You know, not only that, I'm not going to throw you out to the wolves knowing that you're not ready. You know, especially my daughter, my child.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, you know, I'm not here to tell her what to do. I'm here to show her what to do. And I'm not going to agree with everything that nobody does. I'm going to agree with what I think is right. So when she brought me the music that she brought me, sounded cool, you know, sounded like a starter, you know, and I treated it as such. When she showed me the advancement of it, that's when I say, yeah, she's getting it. Then when she showed me the one song that she had wrote for Rihanna that never got to Rihanna and she ended up recording it herself, that's when I was like, yeah, she's ready. So, and that was Air. So now she's flying and doing her thing, you know, and she wanted to make sure that people accepted her for being Rena Love and not Kid Capri's daughter.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? You know, and with her talent and the way she's moving and the way she do things, she proved that.
Word.
You know, but my blood is in her blood, so she have to deal with that part.
Now, for a lot of people, I love that you're touching on these topics, because I feel like nepotism is something that a lot of other cultures, it's just part of the game. You know, when your father is, you know, a banker, and he passes that down to you, you become a second gen, third generation. You know, we see other cultures don't have a problem with positioning their children for success. But I feel like for us, a lot of times it's like, oh, well, that's Kid Capri's daughter, so obviously she's going to be X, Y, and Z. Like, did you have any hesitations about using your Rolodex, your leverage, your legacy to assist her at all?
Oh, no. No. A lot of things I did for her, she don't even know I done. You know.
Wow.
Yeah, because my daughter, and I have that ability to do that. And this is why when I put my album out, The Love, last year, which I rhymed and produced on the whole album, I put her on an Uptown song with me. You know, I wanted her presence there because, first of all, you ain't seen the father and daughter do a hip-hop record.
Come on.
Ever. You know what I'm saying? So that was just dope to see. And, you know, and I wanted her to rhyme on the record. I didn't want her to sing.
So she can spit.
She's nice with it.
Yes.
So, you know, it showed her versatility.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But, you know, they are kids and we raise them, but they're their own people. They got to make their own choices. I can sit here and dictate to her all day what I want her to do myself, but she's got to be happy within herself. A lot of kids, a lot of times in the suburbs, they be raised by their parents.
Mm-hmm.
They told or dictated to what to do and how, you know, to live their life, you know. And that comes from a great place. It comes from a good heart. But at some point, they're going to be in the world and they're going to want to be responsible for their own mistakes and their own blemishes and scratches and abrasions. You can't be responsible for that. You gotta let them just go and fly, and then all they can do is when they come to you to ask you for advice, that's what you give them, your
right.
advice and your direction. Other than that, you gotta let them live their life and find out things. So she bumped her head a couple of times on some things, and now she's realizing how she bumped her head, and that's where I fall in place. When you need me, I'm there to let you know this is how we're gonna recover from it. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So, you know, sometimes we get caught up in being a friend and not the parent.
Talk about it.
You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, you have to understand that you was a kid at one time too. We were all kids too. So you have to understand the youth, and that's what keeps me young. That's what keeps me in line and balance with what's going on with all the kids and as well as the adults, because I stay balanced. I don't go by what's old and new. I go by what's good, you know. So with that being said, it resonates with her. She feel like she got the coolest dad in the world.
Nice.
You know what I'm saying? Absolutely. He, you know, and that's it.
It's, what's also dope about you, and obviously, you know, that you just touched on it, you're one of the only era-less DJs. Like, we could put you in with the Architects, but we could put you in, you know, in a different era. I feel like the Kendrick Lamar project that you were a part of put you in a whole new era. Like, so, and I feel like a lot of parents don't really get how important it is to be current. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, when we get to a certain age, you know, it's easy for us to just like what we've always liked. It takes effort.
What happens is some people get stuck in an old school way of thinking. They get stuck in a time lock and they get complicit mm-hmm. with what makes them comfortable. And sometimes stepping out of your comfortability is uncomfortable for people.
Oh yeah.
Right? So they'd rather be safe in what they like and what they recognize and what resonates with them, which is cool. You know. But in this business and what we do, you know, not even what we do, just in society alone, you can't complain about what change is gonna happen. Change is gonna happen, it's inevitable. Things are going to happen. Nothing's going to stay the same. It's going to happen. Either you move with the change or you don't move with the change. Right. You get stuck, whatever it is, but you can't complain about it. And, you know, I make this a point. Like, the music that's out right now, a lot of it I do like. A lot of it I don't. But I ain't like a lot of music that was in the 90s. I ain't like a lot of music that was in the 80s. I ain't like everything. You know what I'm saying? So you're not going to like everything no matter whatever it is. No matter what change happens, you know, you're going to like what you like. And that's why things are classic, things are timeless, and then there's things that's just for the time.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it always depends on what you want. I think that what happens, I think we get caught in dictating to people what they should like. I think that's where the divide came in with the young and the older people. When the older people say, yo, don't do this, you shouldn't do this and do that. You can't dictate to those people. Like, Soulja Boy at the time, when he turn things with the internet.
Oh yeah,
he was 17 years old at the time. He didn't, you know, if you're a 50 year old man and he did not like this music,
right.
Cool. If you didn't, he didn't give a shit. He went and did what he had to do for his people that were 17, 18 that understood what he was doing. Yet still, it was a mark of a change.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So what do? Be mad at it, or you somehow try to guide it a little bit? If you feel something's wrong with it.
Right.
Give a positive opinion to try to help
Absolutely.
It. Don't step on it. You know what I'm saying? Because it's going to be there regardless if you like it or not. You know what I'm saying? So, and that's why I remain. That's why I stay, because I understand the youth. I was that. And I love everything. I want people to do good. When I go and do my shows, it doesn't matter if there's 21-year-olds there or if there's 50-year-olds there. They're all going to get the same energy, the same show. They're going to leave there feeling better than they did before they got
love
there.
Love it.
That's the whole goal. So doesn't matter what the demographic is.
Right.
You know, and to what you said about the everything, I have a movie I'm doing right now called Mr. Every Ever. And I'm 95% done with it.
Fire.
It's crazy that you said that.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. But things keep happening, so I can't put the movie out because it's not. If I'd have put it out 2 years ago, the album wouldn't have been there. I just put an album out last week with the Hoodies, a young group. The Hoodies, the two young brothers. I produced the album for them. I'm Smoking in the Street. That wouldn't have been in there when I brought Derry G down at Yankee Stadium. The two BETs. All this stuff wouldn't have been in the movie. So things keep happening through the power of God. Thank God.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Always. So for the girl dads out there, mm-hmm. how did you develop your relationship with your daughter? How did you bond with them? What were some intentional things that you kind of put in place?
Let them just be people, man. Just let them do what they do, and don't, you know, be a dad, but also be a person that, you know, understands. A lot of times fathers, you know, they get locked in what they believe and what they think, and that's it. You know, the boy is going to chase you, so you don't know what to do and all this different stuff. But I'm a person that I think when I speak sometime, I get it across.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So
effective communication.
Yeah, I don't really have to badger you and be slick about it. I get it across and you understand it. Now you take that information and whatever you do with it, you're responsible for it. You know, if you don't do the right thing with it, that's a part of life. You're gonna learn. You know what I'm saying? That's what it's about. So I think from that angle, you know, you develop a certain amount of trust from your kids because they know that they can come and tell you anything and you're not going to go and hold it against them or make them feel like they shouldn't come and tell you, you know, or make them feel like they're going to go and tell. I remember telling my daughter, I said, don't never ask another man for any money if you ever need it. You come to me, period. I don't care what age you are, who you are, where you at in your life. If you need anything, you don't never ask another man for it. And she stuck to that. So she never asked another man for anything. You know, her boyfriend that she's with right now, Kawhi, a great kid, love him to death. You know what I'm saying? I see him bring the best out of her. I see her bring, let me say this, she's already good, but I see her make her better. Let me say that.
That's amazing.
You know what I'm saying? And, you know, that's a great thing for a father to see, you know? So, you know.
Man.
Yeah.
I think, you're giving away so much wisdom in this moment because a lot of fathers would be so against seeing their daughter with anybody except them and all of that, that I feel like they would get in the way of a good man in a great relationship. But I also want to go back to something you said earlier, and we're on this whole bonding and let your kid be them. You said that, you know, you're the type of person that even if it hurts your feelings, you're going to be honest and you're going to tell the truth.
Yeah.
How did you prepare your daughters to hear the things that they may not have wanted to hear? Or were you able to kind of sugarcoat things at times? How did you handle that bluntness with them?
Well, I'll say this. If I'm telling you something, you're going to get the truth. You're going to get what it really is. If I don't think you should know, then you just don't know. But you wasn't lied to.
Right. Discernment.
You wasn't lied to. You wasn't misled.
Right.
You just wasn't told because I didn't feel like it was necessary to tell you. Now, if you find on your own and you come and you ask me about it, then I'm going to give you the best advice possible. But if it's something that I think that's not going to make your day any better or do anything that's going to change anything, and that's another thing I live by, you cannot get uptight or upset or bent out of shape or stressed or lose weight or all these things for things that you can't help or change.
Talk about it.
It is what it is. So why let your day go bad by it?
Just
move on to the next thing. Because you'll sit there and drive yourself nuts over something that you can't even do nothing about. What's the point? You know what I'm saying? So those values is kind of what I instill in her.
Absolutely.
So she'll be around celebrities. Mm-hmm. She'll see the biggest celebrities from Busta Rhymes to Snoop. Snoop got on the record and so many different people. And where I see grown people be groupies and
look
crazy, you know, a man will knock a woman out to get to the celebrity, knock her over. Vina's like, this is my family. Like, you know what I'm saying? She could just meet you.
Wow.
And treat you, you'll feel like she's family.
Mm-hmm.
Because of how she treats people. And that comes from her moms and me. You know, me and her moms ain't been together for years, but we love her to death. We like family. So at the end of the day, you know, sometimes kids, you can see it from the parents and how they were raised. That's why a lot of kids, you know, in the street now do things, you know, get involved in gangs and get involved in the street culture and the street things that's going on because the dads wasn't there to make sure that they were in line. You know, they're going to have these children with these women, lay them down and do what they do. You know, when things happen, not saying that you're supposed to be with who you lay down with, everybody, you know, you have fun, but you have to be responsible. And if you bring a life in this child, a kid in this world, you know, that is a cell of yours. That's your responsibility.
Yes.
You know, and I don't condone that. I don't condone a man not being a father, you know, to their child. More. No.
Absolutely. So, we're going to play a quick game called First and Last. So, I'm going to ask you some questions, and we're just going to roll. First memory of fatherhood.
First memory of fatherhood. Coming off the road, and my daughter was in the hospital, and when she opened her eyes, the first thing she did was smile when she seen me. And she been smiling ever since. I never had a day where I woke up because she was crying in the middle of the night. Never had no problems with any fussing, nothing. That all she did as a baby, all the way up to now, if you see Vina Love, you see her always smiling, that was her as a baby the whole time. Never had no issues. So my first thing of fatherhood, it was very easy.
That's amazing, man. God bless her, for sure. Yeah. Last time you hung out with your daughters, what were you at? What were you doing?
Vina came to my house 4 days. Excuse me. I went on a road Friday. She came to my house Thursday with a cook. And I thought he was going to cook me fish and rice. He cooked this whole table of all this food. So now he's my cook. Now he just came back and cooked recently for me. And he did a bunch of different stuff that my refrigerator right now is filled with a bunch That's of different fire. Foods that he did. But this is what he did. He did all this stuff here.
Oh, that. Wow.
Yeah, he went in with that.
Come on. What's that, salmon?
Yeah, two different salmons.
My God.
Yeah, he went crazy. I thought he was just cooking one fish and some, you know. And she just came out of nowhere and just brought him over.
That's amazing.
So that was That's the last dope. Time I was with him.
First artist or song you played for your daughter? Like intentionally, like you were like, oh, I want them to hear this, or I want to play this around them.
It's a good question. I'll tell you this. The first time I played her grandfather's records to her, my father, I played... I think I played Can't Turn It Back On. His record, Can't Turn It Back On. I played that for her and all the other records. I can't remember exactly what music was. But you got to keep in mind, music was in my house all day.
Of course.
So she was born into it. Yes, you know what I'm saying? Absolutely. The first, she is,
It's Air.
That's the name of a song,
right,
Air.
Exactly.
It's there. It's like, you can't really... We'll be here all day.
Word. All right, so what's the last song that she played for you or that she was like, you got to hear this or tried to put you on? Maybe an artist she put you on to.
The last song she has out right now.
Okay.
Yeah, she played that for me and I was like, yeah, that's pretty hot. And the video, she's on the beach.
Yes.
You know, and she's doing her thing, man. I love it. She had gave me another song that with her and Jack Boy that she had did.
Oh.
It was cool. I liked it. It was all right. It wasn't where I wanted it to be, but right. It was all right,
That's what's
but
up.
This one that she has out now is really, really dope.
First concert you took your daughters to?
Davina's first concert, I think it was the Radio City Music with me and LL Sierra and somebody else was on that show. And I was just talking about this in another interview. When I got off, I had to do two shows. So when I did the first set, when I came back on the second set, I put her on stage with me just to be on stage and, let the people see her. And then they gave her cheers and then she broke out into this dance routine.
Hey!
I was like, yo, and she was going crazy. She was about 6 years old. She was going crazy. Radio City was losing their mind. Wow. I was like, wow. So that's when she caught the bug. And then Sierra's chasing her around backstage and all that. She see L. She see all these things. The people share. They asking her for autographs and pictures. So she caught the bug. Then one day she said, Dad, I can sing. I was like, yeah, all right, whatever. She brings me a song. I'm like, yeah, that's all right. Brings me another song. I'm like, all right. Then she brings me a song with a little boyfriend she had at the time. I was like, okay. She did the best of me with Maya and Jay-Z record.
Yes,
I was like, all right. Then she bought me Air. That's who she wrote for Rihanna. She bought me that and did the video. My other daughter did the video. And that's when I said, yeah, this is serious. Now she's ready. And she's been going ever since. So I'm very proud of her, man. She's going to continue to do great things.
Sure.
Me and her's doing a new record right now, as a matter of fact. Yeah, it's going to be a big record.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's what's up. Yeah. Well, my last question was last meal, but you already shared the chef's meal that now is on the staff.
Yeah, man. He's amazing, man. It's amazing what he does, man. The food is incredible. But, my other daughter, Kiara, her too, man, she's very talented. Very talented at what she does. I'm going to show you some of her work when they get a chance.
For sure. Yeah. For sure. Awesome. Well, appreciate your time, man.
Appreciate you, brother. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for staying to the end. That means you really enjoyed this interview on the Rap Dad Show. If so, feel free to like, share, rate, all of those podcast things that help get the show out there, man. We wanted to spread this information. We wanted to share some of our favorite artists in ways we've never seen them before. And we want it to be a blessing to the Rap Dads hip-hop community and let you all know that you're not alone on this beautiful journey of fatherhood. Make sure you lock in with us on social media, The Rap Dads Show, on all of those platforms, and definitely check out rapdads.com for fly merch, books, tour, events, all types of things that we have in the pipeline. Shout out to the Rap Dads out there. Thank you so much for all of the love that we've been getting all over the place. We do this for you. It's not about me, it's about we. We are Rap Dads. Always remember our mantra, whatever's best for my child wins. God bless you and your family. Peace.